Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope Incorporated, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Last week on Hope for Today, we began a study titled, The Fruits of Repentance. When John the Baptist began his ministry, it centered on the call to repentance. And repentance, as John understood it, was a change of heart. It was a complete turning from self and sin to follow the Lord and His righteousness. And John said that heart change would result in changed behavior. In our last time together, we noted several characteristics of the fruits of repentance. The first characteristic we looked at was the fruits of repentance are essential. Because you and I can't see what's happening inside a person, the fruit produced by their lives is the evidence that we see. In fact, John argues that those whose lives bear no fruit will be destroyed. The second characteristic we noted was the fruits of repentance are natural. A tree produces fruit according to its nature. A mango tree produces mangoes, not coconuts. And a follower of Christ produces fruit consistent with the nature of Christ. Now as we resume our study, I will read our text, Luke chapter 3 and verses 7 to 14. Listen carefully to the reading of God's Word.
Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which brings not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, He that has two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that has meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed to you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. John's message raises a serious issue for those of us who profess to know and follow Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said, A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus clearly stated that nature determines fruit. A good tree equals good fruit, a bad tree equals bad fruit. It's impossible for it to be otherwise. You and I can try to deceive people, but eventually the fruit of our lives reveals what is happening on the inside. Fruit will be produced, either by our old sinful nature or by our new Christ-transformed nature. In addition, Jesus warns us about the severe consequences that await those who do not bring forth good fruit. There is only one outcome. They are cut down and cast into the fire. Now, the use of fire in the scriptures is most often associated with judgment. Indeed, not too many years after this warning from John the Baptist, Jerusalem was sacked and burned by the Romans. Would John's message to the people of God, the church, be different today? No, because there's still that human tendency to be smugly satisfied with our exposure to the truth. The tendency to think that because we've embraced the gospel, we can coast the rest of the way to glory. But John's message and Jesus' message makes it clear. No fruits of righteousness being produced means certain judgment. Once John's audience understood the first two characteristics, that the fruits of repentance are essential and natural, then they ask a logical question. What shall we do? That question leads to the final characteristic of the fruits of repentance. And that final characteristic is the fruits of repentance are relational. We notice immediately that John did not launch into some minutiae of the law in response to their question. He did not delve into some theological or philosophical argument on the finer points of contention among the Jewish rabbis. No, instead, he got right to the heart of repentance, and that's relationships. Repentance always affects relationships. Now, first and foremost, repentance involves our relationship with God. After all, it's the Holy Spirit who convinces us of our need for repentance. You'll recall in Psalm 51, in his prayer of repentance after committing adultery and murder, David says to God, "Against you and you only have I sinned." David acknowledged that the primary offense was against God, and therefore repentance first involves the restoration of our relationship to him. But you know it doesn't stop there. The British evangelist of an earlier time, Gypsy Smith, tells the story of being in South Africa, and a fine, handsome Dutchman came into the service he was conducting. God laid his hand on that Dutchman and convicted him of sin. The next morning he went to the beautiful home of another Dutchman, and he said to him, "Do you recognize this old watch?" "Why, yes," answered the other man. "Those are my initials. That is my watch. I lost it 8 years ago." "How did you get it? And how long have you had it?" "I stole it," was the reply. "Well then, what made you bring it back now?" "I was converted last night," came the answer, "and I have brought it back first thing this morning. If you had been up, I would have brought it last night." That's genuine repentance. Now, notice with me the groups of people represented here in our text. First, it was the common people asking what they should do as evidence of their repentance. John said, "Whoever has two coats or two tunics, two undergarments, let him give one of them to someone who has none." Dr. Zodiates states that, at times, two tunics seem to have been worn, probably of different materials, simply for ornament or for luxury. Then John adds, "And to those who have enough to eat, let them share with those who have nothing." Genuine repentance brings compassion to our hearts for those in need. Now, we could look at this verse and say, "Okay, if I have extra food or clothing, I'll help someone out. But the rest of my possessions, they're mine." If we look at the whole scope of Scripture, we'll see a much bigger picture. In fact, the Apostle John puts it this way in 1 John 3:17, and I paraphrase, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart of compassion toward him, how can he say the love of God dwells in him?" This world's goods. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? The next group of people are the tax collectors, traitors, a despised lot among the Jewish people. That any Jewish person would collect taxes for the hated, occupying Roman government was beyond the comprehension of the average Jewish citizen. In addition, the tax collectors were known for requiring more money than the amount that was actually owed, and then they would pocket the difference. Later in chapter 19 of this gospel, Luke gives us the example of Zacchaeus, the chief of tax collectors. John's specific fruit for repentance for them was, "Do not collect more than you are authorized to collect." Surely if they followed this direction, it would make a noticeable impact on their relationships with their fellow men. I believe this is a reminder to us to be just in our dealings with one another, refusing to take advantage because of our authority or our position. The final group who asked for counsel was the soldiers. In response to their question, John told them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be content with your wages." The King James Version says, "Do no violence." The Greek word for violence is diaseo, and it means to shake thoroughly. From this, we get our English equivalent of a shakedown. Now, obviously, these things John mentioned were common among the soldiers, so the fruit of repentance would be realized when they refused to engage in these common practices. You and I both know that our structures of authority have the temptation of bullying others in order to gain personal benefit. Unfortunately, this can happen in the home, the workplace, the church, and in government. If you hold a position of authority in any of these spheres, you most likely have had the temptation to abuse that authority. I know I have, and I need the grace of God daily to remind me that any authority I have is not mine, but it is simply delegated to me by God. I will answer to Him for how I use that authority, and so will you. In closing, let's review the characteristics of the fruits of repentance. First, the fruits of repentance are essential. They are non-optional. Genuine repentance brings changes to our way of living. Without those changes, our claims of repentance ring hollow. Second, the fruits of repentance are natural. That is, they occur spontaneously out of the core of our being. Good fruit comes from good trees, those who have been transformed in their spirit by the power of Christ. And finally, the fruits of repentance are relational. They impact our relationship with God and relationships with those around us. My friend, are the fruits of repentance visible in your life? Have you experienced the transforming power of Christ at the core of your being? You see, the only effective and lasting way to produce the fruits of repentance is to have a change of nature, from the old sinful nature to the new nature of Christ. What does the fruit of your life reveal? Are you bringing forth fruits that validate your repentance?
My friend, were you blessed or challenged by this teaching? If so, you can have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. All you need to do is write and ask for it by its title, The Fruits of Repentance. Now, the quickest way for you to request a copy of this teaching is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or send us a letter at Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the teaching is titled The Fruits of Repentance. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to request a copy of this teaching is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Fruits of Repentance, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. So be sure to join me, and until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.